Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
It's great to see you, buddy. Who's thankful for air conditioning today? I am, especially. Hope you're staying cool. I mean, we've got a brand new system in here, and it's a really good system, and even it's having a hard time keeping up with what's going on outside. So I imagine we are all dealing with that in one way or another. But we are glad to be here this morning, and it's great to have you worshiping with us this morning as well. I want to welcome our students back. They were away all week at what we call MFuge, Mission Fuge Camp up in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. So they had a wonderful, wonderful time of doing lots of Bible study, discipleship, worship, serving in the broader Philadelphia area, doing various types of ministries and missions while they were there. So we hope you had a wonderful, wonderful time. Thanks to our adults who made it happen and took them and served as adult chaperones and counselors and all that good stuff as well. So we thank you for everything that you do. Make sure you ask our students how they did and what went on that week as you see them today and throughout the next few weeks. They'd love to share some of their stories with you, I'm sure. So grab your notes. Today I want us to look at a pretty broad subject that we all struggle with in one way or another at different times in our lives. It's just a part of our lives, and it's our health, right? Our health. And this is a subject that we just come back to periodically over the years, because I just feel like we ought to be teaching all of Scripture, and Scripture certainly speaks to our health in different ways. So we're going to look at that this morning. And the word health actually comes from the same root word as the word whole, right? And so for us to find health, what we really have to discover, or what we really have to find, is we have to find wholeness in our lives. And there's this verse in John chapter 3 that I think is a really great place for us to begin this morning. It's over in verse 2 of John. And John writes this. He says, "Dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well." And here's what I think John is telling us in that passage. He's saying there's an inseparable relationship between the health of our soul and our well-being. That the wholeness that we're talking about, that wholeness we carry from the inside, it manifests itself as health in every arena in our life. And for us to understand what we're going to talk about today, there's a couple of assumptions that I think we all just need to kind of move towards. And the first assumption is this, that you are not a physical being with a soul. You're not a physical being with a soul. Rather, you're a spiritual being with a body. That the spirituality of who you are comes first and is the priority. And then the second assumption is this, that every aspect of your life is affected by the health of your soul. You see, I think most of us tend to kind of think in compartments, right? And so, you know, we have our emotional health over here, and maybe we have our physical health here, and then we've got our relational health here, and then, oh yeah, over here is our spiritual health. But that's not how we were created at all as human beings. We're not divided into categories, and we're not divided into compartments. Spirituality is not a category. Spirituality is the category. And the health of your soul, it shapes every single aspect of who you are as a person. So I want to take some time today and just talk about how can we have health in our lives, and how can we restore health in our lives in the areas that we need to. And I want us to look at four different areas of our lives, and I want us to examine ourselves to see how our souls, if our souls are healthy, as they are reflected in these four areas. Because you see, the only proof of your spiritual health is really your life itself. That life is the only context for spirituality. So let's start kind of from the center and work our way out, because for all of us here today, the two most important areas to move towards health is our emotional health and our relational health. And I want us to kind of look at that inside-out relationships as we look at these four things. And the inside relationship of our health is our emotional health, and it affects the outside relationships, which is our relational health, right? And so we'll start by looking at our emotional health. And the Apostle Paul, he gives us some really good input about our emotional health. And here's what he says. He says, "But you must rid yourself of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. And do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge and the image of its creator. And there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised, uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all." Now, look at what Paul kind of says at the beginning of that passage, back to the top. He says, but now you must rid yourself of all such things as these. And then he lists them as anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language, he says, from your lip. And what Paul is describing here in this passage, he's describing the dysfunction of the lack of emotional health. The dysfunction that comes when we begin to allow negative emotions and attitudes to control who we are as a person and to control our lives. And he gives us basically the same kind of warning when he writes to the followers in Ephesus over in Ephesians. When he says this, he says almost the same thing: get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. And again, he's talking about our emotional health. And I think one of the challenges for us as human beings is that the person that we love in the 1 minute is the person we can't stand the next, right? You've ever experienced that? That the person we respect and admire 1 moment may be the very person that we despise in the next moment. And the person that we're attracted to 1 day is the person that we're in conflict with the next day. Because what happens is when we open up our lives to another person, we actually allow their imperfections to collide with our imperfections. And when that happens, it can actually bring out the worst in all of us. And so if you want a summary of how to move towards emotional health in your life, then here it is. You just need to get over it, right? You need to realize that life is complicated and that relationships are messy and that nobody is perfect and there will be people who let you down, and along the way you're going to let people down, and that part of the process of becoming healthy is getting past all of these negative emotions, like Paul says, of bitterness and jealousy and anger and rage and envy and all of that. And so some of you are here today and you need to move towards emotional health in your life. And in order to do that, there are some things that you just need to get over. There are some things that you need to figure out how to move past or how to let go, because they're controlling who you are. And we all need to move towards emotional health because it actually affects our relational health, doesn't it? And back to Colossians chapter 3, Paul says, get rid of all of these negative emotions so we can move towards emotional health. Now look at what he says. He says, therefore, as God's chosen people, so he's talking to followers of Jesus like us, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you have against one another. And then here's what Paul says. He says, forgive. How? Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Remember, we looked a few weeks ago at that last command that Jesus gave us of love others the way I've loved you. And I said to you, everything that Paul says, everything that Paul writes, every instruction that Paul gives us from there on out points us back to what Jesus said, and that's what Paul's doing here. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. So he's saying you need to move towards emotional health, but you also need to move towards relational health. And you need to get over it. You need to get over those things that have in the past that have hurt you or damaged you and all of that. But he says you also need to get things right, that you need to get every relationship that you can right. In fact, Scripture tells us that as much as it depends on us to live at peace with everyone. Back again to Ephesians chapter 4, where Paul basically gives us the same relationships as he did in that previous passage. He says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. And then he says, be kind and compassionate to one another. And again, he says, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. And so while it comes to relational health, there's this endless array of negative emotions that might actually kind of shape us and actually begin to destroy our relationships. There's only one singular process that moves us towards health in terms of relational health, and it's the process of forgiving others. You know, when I was in college, I had two friends in college, Don and Russ, and we were really, really close friends. Don and I were roommates for several years. Russ and I were best friends. We met, it was the first person I met in college, and he and I didn't know anybody else in our school, and so we got to know each other really well, really quickly. And one of the things that we loved to do, the three of us loved to do in our downtime and spare time was to play racquetball. And Don and Russ are both very, very competitive people. Now, I'm not competitive. If you know me at all, you know I'm not really a competitive person. I like doing sports with people, but I'm there for the social side of things. I don't care if I win or lose. In fact, I would play against Don or Russ, and we'd play like best 2 out of 3. I knew if I didn't win the first game, I wouldn't win. I could try my hardest and bring out all the competitiveness in me and maybe beat them one game. But if I didn't win the first game, I was just like, that's it, I'm done. I'm just going to have fun, right? But they were incredibly competitive. And when they would play together, it was like 4th of July, right? I mean, it was fireworks because they just knew how to push each other's buttons. And when they would... they would play, you know, you could see Russ start to kind of agitate Don just in just a way that only he could. And then you'd see Don kind of get flustered and frustrated. And then the smack talk would start, right? And it would get just a little more and more intense. And the rest of us that were there watching it, you know, as this got more and more serious and more intense, you know, because you would think, well, this is a precursor for violence, right? And so because we cared about these guys, I mean, we just stood back and watched, right? Because we wanted to see what was going to happen next. And the thing is, though, you didn't really see that with Russ and anyone else. And like I said, Don and I were roommates for years. We were really, really good friends. And we're all still connected some way or another. You didn't really see that with Don and other people so much. They were both just really, really likable guys and well-liked guys. But when you put them together, you know, something just happened. Have you ever had someone in your life that just brings out the worst in you, right? And maybe they're a friend or maybe they're a relative or somebody that you're even close to, like Don and Russ were, but they just get under your skin and they know exactly what to do or they know exactly what to say. I mean, some people, even their voice just irritates you, right? And the moment they enter the room, you're going, I just don't know what happened, right? I mean, they just got under my skin. They drive me crazy. And really, all they're doing is they have the code to the dark side of your soul, don't they? And they just open you up and it just comes out. The thing that I loved about Don and Russ, though, was they were always able to leave it on the court. That they were able to walk away having reconciled the conflict from the competition. And it doesn't mean that you don't have conflict in your life when you have emotional health and when you have relational health. It simply means that you reconcile those relationships to the best of your ability as soon as you possibly can. And you realize that the relationship is far more important than everything else. So I mean, what would our world look like if everybody was healthy? I mean, relational health and emotional health, this inside-outside relationship where we just need to get past stuff and let things go and get over it, and we need to get things right with the people that we're in relationship with. And then there's a relationship between your physical health and your material health. And sometimes we neglect the aspects of our physical health, don't we? And there's this strange relationship sometimes that if you're a person of faith, that you might actually neglect your physical health. And I don't know why it is. And it's interesting, you know. I mean, I know a lot of pastors. And most of the pastors that I know aren't physically healthy in one way or another. But you were created by God, and God created you not just with a soul, but he also gave you a body. And that body is valuable and treasured by God. And here's something else that Paul says. I love this verse. He says, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. And you know, sometimes, from time to time, I'll have people come and ask me things like, David, is this wrong? Or is this okay, right? Is God okay? Is this a sin? Or is God okay with this? And sometimes they just want me to give them categories so they don't really have to think for themselves. And I've had people ask me, you know, David, is smoking a sin? You know, why does everything have to be a sin? Can't some things just be dumb? I mean, think about it. I mean, it's not whether it's a sin or not. I mean, why do you want to do something that's going to make you sick, right? Or why do you want to be addicted to something that when you get under pressure and you get under stress, you got to turn to that and you got to rely on that? You know, David, is it wrong to drink, or is it wrong to do this, or is it wrong to do that? And here's the guideline. Paul gives it to us. He says, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, he says, do it all for the glory of God. See, you may want black and white rules, But what God gives you is a compass. And that passage right there, that's our compass. That's our compass. So you need to be asking yourself, you know, is what I'm doing, does it bring glory to God? And by the way, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul says this too. He says, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? And there's so much theology in this, we don't have time to even think about unpacking it. But he says, you're not your own because you were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. I think way too many times we neglect the health of our bodies. And I mean, it's not about being vain or anything. This is about being healthy. And it's amazing how there are certain sins that we're comfortable talking with a lot, but we don't like to talk about things like gluttony, and we never talk about things like laziness. And there's an aspect of who you are that God wants us to realize that our bodies were created to be inhabited by His presence. And so we need to be treating our bodies with the same kind of respect that God gives us when He creates us in the first place. And so, you know, when you're eating those burgers and fries, right? And I love food. I mean, don't get me wrong. I love to eat. I tell people I would rather run than reduce my intake, okay? I mean, the reason I go to the gym is simply so I can eat more. That's basically the bottom line. And so I understand that, but at the same time, your spirituality, your health is connected to your physicality. And so it shouldn't surprise you that when you wake up with a migraine, that you don't feel all that compassionate to people around you. And it shouldn't surprise you that when you don't feel well, you're not all that forgiving. And it shouldn't surprise us that when we don't have a lot of energy, we're not really all that patient with the people in our lives, right? And all those things are interconnected. I've told you before, several years ago, I was not healthy physically. I mean, I was 40 pounds overweight when I went for a physical. All of my lab work was off the charts in the wrong direction and all that. And I had a very caring doctor, Dr. Call, who got in my face and gave me a wake-up call because he cared about me. And I had an extremely supportive wife who got behind me and helped me figure it all out. And today I can tell you that because I'm healthier physically, that I'm a better person. And I'm a better pastor, I'm a better husband, I'm a better father, I'm a better friend. And I will tell you that when it comes to physical health, just for me, I mean, it's a daily focus for me. It has to be a daily focus. And it's not like it's hard work, but it does take discipline. And so some of you need to realize that your lack of physical health, it's affecting other areas of your life. And so here's what you need to do if this is affecting you is you just need to get moving, right? I mean, literally, you need to get moving. But then it's not just our physical health. There's also a connection to our material health. And Jesus talks a lot about material things. And in fact, he talked more about money and finances and stuff than he did about love. And here's one of the things that Jesus said. These are Jesus' words. He said, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. And then he says this, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And Jesus is saying, you need to guard your heart because what you fall in love with, what you love, that's your treasure. And that's where your primary relationship is going to be. And you need to have physical health, but you also need to have material health. And that you have a healthy relationship with all the stuff in this world and all the stuff in your life. And I think it's interesting that in today's culture, there's this teaching around what's called the prosperity gospel, and it focuses on this belief that God just wants you to have more and more stuff in your life. But really, God's goal isn't to make you prosperous. God's goal is to make you free. And sometimes the stuff in this world actually steals that freedom from us. Our possessions can actually tie us down, in a sense. That's why Paul gives us some really good instructions when he says, command those who are rich in this present world. And by the way, that's all of us. I always tell you, if you have change in your pocket, you're wealthier than about 98% of the rest of the world. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. And command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of life that is truly life. And so simply to move towards material health, you simply need to just to be more generous. And this is what God wants for us. That back to the beginning, he wants us to be whole when it comes to our health. He wants us to be healthy. But for that to happen, the health of our soul has to inform our emotional health. And it has to inform our relational and our physical and our material health. And by the way, it always begins at the core. Just like John said at the beginning, he says, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well. It begins with the health of your soul. And so if we need to get over it, and if we need to get things right, and if we need to get moving, and if we need to be more generous, then we also need to get connected. And this is where Jesus brings us so much hope. And I love the words of Jesus here where he says to us, he says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus invites us to come to him and to find the restoration for our soul so that we might find wholeness, and so that wholeness might bring us health in every area, in every arena of our life. And maybe you're here today and you're going, but David, I'm a mess. I mean, I look at all of these areas that we've talked about in my life, and all I see is dysfunction and disarray. I mean, I'm not healthy. One time Jesus was at a party with a guy named Levi. And Levi was this tax collector who ended up becoming a follower of Jesus. And so he invites Jesus over to his house one day, and he has this big party with all of his tax collecting friends and all of these other people that in their culture, they were considered sinners. They were considered kind of the worst of the worst. And this is what Mark, who was probably there, tells us happened at this party. He says, while Jesus was having dinner at Levi's house, many tax collectors and sinners were eating with him and his disciples, for there were many who followed him. And when the teachers of the law, who were the Pharisees, saw him eating with sinners and tax collectors, they asked his disciples, why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners? On hearing this, Jesus said to them, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. It's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. And so if you're here today and you're looking at your own soul and you know that you need to be restored to health in some way, you need to know that Jesus came for you. And then he says this, he says, I've not come to call the righteous, but the sinners. And I love how Jesus says this. He just turns the table on the religious leaders, doesn't he? I mean, they thought that they were so righteous. And Jesus, I mean, he's the Messiah. He's the Son of God. And he looks at them and he says, oh, by the way, you who are righteous, I didn't come for you. I came for them, the sinners. The only Jesus can take being called a sinner and make it into a compliment, right? And say, I came for you. You're the ones that I love. And you're the reason that I've come. And if Jesus were here today, he would say to you, if you're unhealthy, if you're unbroken, if you're broken, if you're damaged, if there's things in your past or things in your present that you just can't get a grip on, if you're sinful, he says, it was for you that I came. And maybe you're here today and you're like, well look, I think I'm healthy. I mean, I look at those areas in my life and I think they're okay, and I don't really think I need any help. I mean, I'm righteous, and that's okay. But Jesus didn't come for you because he didn't need to. But maybe there will be a day when you're not so healthy. And maybe there will be a day when things begin to fall apart in some way in your life. And maybe there will come a day when there's just an emptiness in your life that you just can't seem to fill on your own. Maybe there will be a day when you look inside and you go, man, I need God in my life. That day, I want you to remember that Jesus came for you too. Let me pray for you. God, this area of health, of wholeness in our life is something that we all struggle with. That in some way or another, at different points in our life, we struggle with different aspects of our health, whether it's emotional health or relational or physical or material. There are things in our lives that just aren't where they need to be or should be or could be. And so, God, first thing I pray is that we just recognize that you would show us where we lack health. And maybe it's obvious to us in some ways, and then maybe it's not. So I just pray that through your intervention to your own divine ways, that you would just show that to us. And then, God, I pray that we would take some steps to recognize it and then take some steps to do something about it so that we might find wholeness, so that it might affect every area of our lives in a positive way. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.